Let's open our Bibles, if you would, please, to Proverbs chapter 14. Proverbs chapter 14 this morning, and we're going to read just one verse as we look into God's Word this morning. We'll look at other verses, but we'll start with Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 34. Righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. On July 4th, 1776, King George III in England wrote in his diary at the end of that day, "Nothing of importance happened today." Little did he know what was going on 3,000 miles away in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. That's the signing of the Declaration of Independence. It took our nation a step forward toward greatness, and started a nation destined for greatness, because this nation was founded upon biblical principles. The United States of America has been greatly blessed by the Lord, and I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for the nation that God has placed us here in to enjoy. But our nation has been going backward, a spiral going downhill for many years, and as the choir sang this morning, very fitting, "Bring us back. Bring us back to the country we knew when we were growing up." Our nation has grown far from the Lord, and has caused many to wonder just how long this nation can survive without the judgment of God. Sin being a reproach to any people. But I believe that our nation can once again be a nation of greatness. And I'm not being political this morning, but I believe that God's people can make America great again. That's a catchy slogan that our president uses, but it's true. And he's not going to make America great again. God's people will. God will. It really is up to us as we'll look this morning. This morning our thoughts are going to turn, as we celebrate the founding of our nation, to what has made our nation great in the past. And then we're going to look at the threats to that greatness today and what you and I as believers can do to bring our nation back to where it once was. I want us to understand, first of all, that a nation is great when it has the right kind of citizens, God-fearing citizens that make a nation great. You see, the people of America have helped make this nation great. As we started out, the citizens feared the Lord and honored Him. Dr. J.D. Gray said in an address before the Kiwanis International Convention in Seattle, Washington, back in 1952, he said, "The foundation of our nation, the founders of our nation were in the main a God-fearing, God-honoring people. They were not the renegades, the backwash, the off-scourging of the nation of Europe. Among the 56 signers of the Declaration of Independence, 47 of them were graduates of Christian colleges, 8 of which were functioning in the land before 1776. But even prior to this, when the Pilgrims were about to land at Plymouth Rock, they bowed their knees before Almighty God in grateful recognition of His blessings upon them and bringing them to a safe harbor. And in that spirit, they dedicated to Him their endeavors in this new land." You see, the nation started out great. If any of you know me real well, you know that I'm not good at history, nor do I like history. It's a lot of dates and places and wars and people and trying to keep them all straight. I'm just fortunate to get out of history class. We had a class at Pillsbury Baptist Bible College when I was going to Bible college to prepare for the ministry, called Rudiments of America's Christian History. When I saw the word history, I said, "Oh no." I took it in summer school, not because I was dumb, but because I wanted to take it in a 6-week period of time as opposed to a whole semester. But that, folks, was one of the best classes that I had in Bible college, because it told of our founding history that you don't get in history books today. I want us to look this morning at some of the quotes of our founders of this nation back in 1776. George Washington said, It is impossible to rightly govern the world without God and the Bible. He went on to say, it is the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God, to obey His will, to be grateful for His benefits, and humbly to implore His protection, aid, and favors. You won't find that in a history book anywhere in our nation today. Here's another quote that's missing today from our history books. Andrew Jackson said, the Bible is the rock upon which our republic rests. Patrick Henry, we all remember him. He said, it cannot be emphasized too strongly or too often that this great nation was founded not by religionists, but by Christians, not on religion, but on the gospel of Jesus Christ. For this very reason, peoples of other lands have been afforded asylum, prosperity, and freedom of worship here. John Adams said, our Constitution was made only for a moral and religious people. It is wholly inadequate for the government of any other. Could that be the reason we're having trouble with our nation being governed today? People ignoring the Constitution because it wasn't made for the type of nation that we have become. James Madison, the fourth president of the United States, said this, we take the future of this country on the ability to govern ourselves under the principles of the Ten Commandments. I want you to understand this morning that we began as a nation under God, literally, with God's leading and in the power of God. A nation is great when its citizens honor the Lord and His word. I also believe that a nation is great when the citizens establish the right kind of institutions. First institution is that of the home. Our nation was great in the past because home was the basic institution of our nation. In the early days, home life was stressed. In the early days, the family was important. There were close-knit units of society we call the family. That's not so true today. In the early days, home and family was honorable and respectful. How different that is today. We don't have to look too far on our television set to be reminded of shows like Modern Family, which features as a family unit two gay individuals. That's what is also being stressed in our nation's schools. I want you to know this morning again and be reminded that in the beginning, it was Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. And it's always been that way and always will be. Man and woman together that begin a family. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. In Genesis 2:24. Another institution that has got to be strong is our churches. In the early days of our nation, church was important. Natural for people to attend church. You didn't have to question on Sunday morning what you were going to do. Wasn't a question of, well, let's just go to the lake and let's just go play golf and let's just go do this. Everybody that was not considered, and those that didn't go were kind of heathenish. Everybody went to church. My, how we've strayed from that. If you don't believe that, just go out on 64 before church and drive around. See how many cars are out there not going to church. Drive in the summer, in the wintertime. Drive by our schools in the fall and in the spring. See how many people out there are playing soccer. Folks, the church is not what it used to be. I remember back when I was younger and I wasn't just a kid, I was an adult working in Kokomo, Indiana, town or county of 50,000 people, that there was one gas station open in town. And on Friday, they would print which gas station was going to be open. That was it. There was one drugstore open in town on Sundays. They printed in the paper, if you had a need, if there's an emergency, Here's the drugstore that will be. And they rotated those around. My, have we strayed from that. We again need to be reminded in Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. As we get closer and closer and closer to the return of Christ, we should not be forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. And then the third institution, I believe that it's important for us as a nation to be strong in, is our schools. The early schools often were proponents of religious thought. You remember that? Early students learned how to read by reading the scriptures. The early days of our nation, those one-room schoolhouses, the instruction book on reading was the Bible. Now you would be thrown out if you brought a Bible to school and said, hey, let's read this. Our schools have gone downhill because we've taken God out of our schools. Today, there are high school graduates in the United States that have trouble reading their diploma. We have, as a nation, changed as we've taken God and prayer even away from football games. There was a story in the news this week how there was a city somewhere in the United States, the story wasn't that long, of course, that the city was sued because they were beginning their city council meetings with prayer. And they lost the case. When we see what our founders did, how they founded our nation on biblical, godly, Christian principles, and we can't even pray in Jesus' name at the beginning of a city council meeting or a high school football game. I believe that we in trouble as a nation. A nation becomes great when the citizens are righteous. As we read this morning, righteousness exalts a nation. Righteousness exalts a nation. But there are many evils which threaten to destroy America today. I've listed eight of them here today, and some of them we'll just be able to touch on. But the first one, atheism. Millions of Americans do not believe in God at all. There's many in this nation that does not even know about God. They deem God as not important, that the Bible is a book of fairy tales. Atheism, of course, springs evolution. Today, God is just a myth or little more than a fairy tale and a story for women and children. Those who don't believe God don't believe any accountability for sin. So they themselves make up what's right and what's wrong. You do what you want, what you think is right. Atheism. Then there's materialism. Some have the idea of the objective of their goal and money and things is their God. And you know, sometimes even believers can get caught up in this materialism. And some have even spent God's money on things that they want. God help us as Christians and as a nation not to become materialistic. Jesus said in Matthew 6:19, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through to steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. Another thing threatening our nation today is socialism. The seeking of equal distribution of wealth in America is causing harm. We hear it referred to as redistribution. You've earned your money, now let's give it to some fellow that refuses to work so that he can have what we have. Socialism. And our young people think that's the way to go because they've never been taught anything else. They've never taught 2 Thessalonians 3:10, for even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. Socialism is contrary to the Word of God. Now, when Paul said, if any man will not work, neither should he eat, he's not talking about those who can't work. He's not talking about those who are or disabled, those who are elderly and can't work. He's talking about those, and a lot of our young people and our young generation today have this thought, those who say, why should I work? I can make just as much money staying at home and letting the government pay my living. Socialism, redistribution, is destroying our nation. And then there's the sin of alcoholism and drug abuse. Major problem, social pressure, peer pressure, has captured basically America's youth and left behind pain and slavery to alcohol and other drugs. And it's destroying our youth, destroying our nation. And sometimes parents, we can be bad examples to our children. Secularism, freedom from religion. God has been removed from our schools and our society. In fact, it's gotten so bad, the U.S. Supreme Court ruled that a fifth grade teacher violated the First Amendment's supposed separation of church and state by placing a Bible on the school's desk. This doctrine of separation from religion is attributed wrongfully to Thomas Jefferson. It is not in the Constitution. Jefferson wrote a letter that stressed freedom of, not freedom from religion. There's a big difference. Some people say, well, the Constitution says there's a freedom of religion in the state. Nowhere in the Constitution does it say that. But our society would have you to believe that. The Constitution says we have the freedom to worship, and the church cannot be imposed upon by the nation. It cannot establish a religion. But it doesn't say you cannot practice religion on the courthouse square. Secularism. People came to America to have freedom of religion, not to be free of religion. But our nation stresses that you shouldn't have, that religion shouldn't be practiced openly anywhere. People will tell you, oh, that belongs in church. It doesn't belong in school. It doesn't belong in the shopping centers. It doesn't belong on public property or even private property unless it's yours done inside. We are labeled as intolerant because we believe that Jesus is the only way. And one day, you and I may have to pay the price for that message. We may have to be willing to go to court, willing to go to jail, because we are intolerant of other religions. We believe that anyone can worship as they please. That's what our founding fathers said. People have a right to be wrong. But there are some people that believe that inclusivism, that everybody has got truth, everybody's got spiritual truth. For Jesus said there's only one way, and it's Him. And if somebody's planning to get to heaven through Mohammedism or some other ism other than Christ, he is not going to be there in heaven one day. And then our nation has been troubled with violence. Our entertainment industry is geared to violence. Movies, video games, we could just spend an ample amount of time on violence. But our school shootings back, that started back in Columbine has continued on. Shootings in soft targets. We never had that when we were growing up. We have a society now that has geared itself on violence. It is, you know, years ago, you didn't even have to lock the doors to the church. Somebody at 1 o'clock in the morning woke up and said, I just need to spend time with God. Could come over to a church, come in, come to the altar and pray. Now, not only do we have to lock the doors when we're not here, many churches, in fact, I don't know of many churches that don't, have armed security personnel in the services. That's where we've come as a nation. Because we have stressed it's all right to have violence on TV. It's all right for our little kids to have violent games on their iPads and on their electronic devices. It's okay. Well, if you think it's okay, just check out how many school shootings there's been. How many shootings at churches there have been. At shopping centers. Check out where our society is that's causing our nation to falter. And then there's humanism. Humanist rights lead to abortion rights. Millions of babies are murdered every year, believing that a woman has the right to decide for herself. She should have made a decision long before the child came along. Public schools and colleges, as well as the media, are propagating the idea that man is his own God. You can do whatever you want to do. God has another plan. That of being righteous and holy. Thou shalt not commit murder, is the word of the Lord. And then homosexuality. Tearing down the family unit, and God condemns homosexuality. Folks, I can't stress enough where our nation has gone in this area. Last week was Gay Pride Week across our nation, and last night was a gay pride rally in Norfolk. Everybody hooping it up. Well, there's not going to be much hooping up when their life comes to an end, because the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 6, that those who commit as a lifestyle that sin shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, I don't care what they think. I'd rather believe what God says about the subject, about any subject. But it's a terrible sin, and we as a nation have not condemned it, not have just accepted it, but we've encouraged it. We teach it as normal, just another lifestyle in our school systems. What will save America from these evils and make her strong and great again? First one, five things. First one, we must repent of our sins and seek the fear of God. 2 Corinthians 7:14 says, if my people, who's God's people? You are. Today it's the church. If the church, which is called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and will heal their land. 2 Chronicles 7:14. The greatness of America is only going to come when you and I, as God's people, humble ourselves before a holy God and pray. Turn from our wicked ways and seek God's forgiveness. And folks, that's why I say it's up to us. Because if we as a church and churches all across our nation will get serious about God, serious about our sinfulness and confess it and forsake it, God promises He'll forgive our sin and the sins of our nation and will heal our land. God's promised that. But it begins with us. Second thing we can do is to pray for our leaders and our nation. And it doesn't matter who the leader is. You may or may not like our current president. That's beside the point. God commands us to pray. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1, the Bible says, I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. That's for everybody. Saint and sinner. Straight and gay. Pray for everybody. For kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Pray for those in charge, the president, our congressmen and senators, our governor, our local governments. Pray for those in charge that will enable us to have a quiet and peaceful life. That will help us to become a great nation of righteousness again. And then, thirdly, be sure we vote for godly men and women. Not just those who promises us everything. I'm going to vote for the one that I get more money from. Vote for those who are opposed to the sin of abortion and homosexual rights. Vote for those who are opposed to restricting the exercise of religion. Those who want to foster religion in our nation and righteousness. If we think believers should not influence the voting of those who stand for righteousness, then we give in to the eventual ceasing of preaching the gospel in America. Fourthly, get involved in government. Nothing wrong with that. Why couldn't a righteous person run for our county government or state government? Or if you got a lot of courage, our nation's government. Why shouldn't righteous people like yourself get involved in government? Now, you don't have to run for the office, but maybe you can write letters to the editor, speak out in county council meetings. Write letters to your senator and congressman. Give them a call. Write a letter to the president. But the fifth and most important thing that we can do, besides number one, is reach people for Christ. You want a godly nation? Then be used of God to make this a godly nation. Those that are full of godly people. You and I must become involved in witnessing to the atheist, to the drunkard, the homosexual, the humanist, the people next door. Some that think they're godly and some who are ungodly that live in our neighborhood. You and I have got to present Christ to them because that is the hope of our nation. The hope of our nation is reaching people for Christ and then humbling ourselves before God, asking His forgiveness, asking Him for deliverance for our nation. For some, righteousness must begin at salvation. Perhaps there are those here that have never trusted the Lord as their Savior. They may be religious and lost. Religion never saved anybody, but Christ has saved everybody that will come to Him. Jesus said, Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. If you're here today without Christ, in a moment we're going to sing a hymn of invitation. We invite you to come and trust the Lord Jesus as personal Savior. If you're here today with any other spiritual need, maybe you know you're just not living right or you've got sin in your life, be aware of the verse that we need to humble ourselves and pray and seek the face of God. We invite you to do that today. Again, I remind you, Psalm 9:17, as we conclude our sermon today, the wicked shall be turned into hell and all the nations that forget God. That's the same truth that's true for our nation. Unless we as a nation make a drastic change as our choir has said this morning, as they sang, we've got to turn back. We've got to return to the nation of righteousness we once were. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning praising you for the nation that you have started, the United States of America, and we come here this morning with humble hearts, realizing that we're not what we used to be. But we want as a nation to go back to what we were, a nation of righteousness, a nation that worshiped and praised you. And Lord, help us in our humbleness as individuals here at Whitehead's Grove to do our part of seeking your face, coming before you, and living a life of righteousness for you. There are those here today without Christ. May they begin by coming to Christ today. For we ask it in Jesus' name, and for his sake we do pray. Amen.